Page 343, Salaika Sutta. Erroneous views in modern times. Today there are misconceptions about the Dhamma. Once a woman said that there was an error in my book. In my book I have made it clear that with the development of Udayapaya Jnana, insight into arising and vanishing, there arises piti paramoja, rapturous joy. But although this piti paramoja is not the deathless nibbana, it is indeed the deathless nibbana for the yogis who have attained Udayapaya Jnana, because such yogis will realize the real nibbana if they continue to practice vipassana meditation. My statement is in accord with the Dhammapada and the commentary's explanation of the verse, which says, amatam tam vijanatam, that piti paramoja is the deathless nibbana of the yogi who has gained an insight into the arising and passing away of nama rupa. Yet I was accused of having made piti paramoja synonymous with nibbana. The woman admitted her mistake when her meditation teacher pointed out how my writing accorded with the Pali Pitaka and the commentaries. Fortunately, she was not bigoted like Sati or Arieta. Another woman criticized the method of meditation that I recommended in one of my books, but which she found unacceptable. She contended that concentration, samadhi, is possible only if the attention is focused on a single object, that to attend to whatever one sees, hears, etc., means restlessness, udacha. So she raised the question of whether it would not undermine samadhi if the yogi, after having emerged from a jhanic state, made himself mindful of everything that arose from the senses. In fact, my statement was based on the exegesis of Dvaita Vitaka Sutta, as given in the commentary on Majjhima Nikaya. But as my book was a short description of meditation methods, I did not quote the Pali text. There are two kinds of samadhi, namely Samatha Samadhi and Vipassana Samadhi. Of the two, Samatha Jhana Samadhi requires the mind to be confined to a single object. If the practice of this samadhi involves kasina exercise, the yogi must focus his mind on a single object, say earth, in order to develop upachara, neighborhood samadhi, or apanasa, access samadhi. If the device is to reflect on loathsomeness, asubha, the mind must also be focused on a single object, such as a dead body. When the 32 parts of the human body form the object of concentration, the yogi has to concentrate on all the 32 parts initially. Only at the later stage, one focuses on the well-known parts and ignores the unknown. Finally, he confides his attention to a single part to attain the two kinds of samadhi. So it is certainly true that one can develop samatha samadhi only by attending to a single object. But the same cannot be said of vipassana samadhi. It is possible for some yogis with sharp intelligence to attain the path and its fruition in a moment, while being mindful of a single object. But presumably such yogis are very rare. For in vipassana meditation, you should attend fully to at least consciousness and corporeality, nama rupa, as the Buddha says, sabbang abhinyayam. One should be aware of everything. The yogi should watch all the psychophysical phenomena arising from six senses. So a jhanic yogi may enter into jhana, watch that jhanic state, again enter into jhana, watch that jhanic state, and by thus practicing jhana and vipassana alternately attain the path and its fruition. Or he may enter into jhana and watch the phenomena arising from six senses. When he is physically and mentally tired, he again enters into jhana. When he emerges from jhana, he watches everything that arises. Repeating this process, that is entering into jhana and then practicing mindfulness when out of it, he develops vipassana insight and attains the path and its fruition. This way of contemplation is described as follows in the commentary on Dvaita Vitaka Sutta. quote, "Thus the Buddha described the duration of vipassana that was conditioned by the jhanic state of the bodhisattva. Both the samadhi and vipassana in a person may be in an embryonic state. Practicing vipassana, he sits for a long time and feels tired. He feels heated in his body. He sweats and his forehead seems to exude vapor and gas. He is mentally tired too. The yogi then enters into jhana again, and after alleviating his physical and mental fatigue, he feels at ease and practices vipassana. When after sitting for a long time he gets tired again, he repeats as before. Thus, absorption in jhana is immensely beneficial to the practice of vipassana." End quote. This is the way to contemplate the phenomena that are worthy of contemplation after arising from jhana. In the practice of vipassana, you should begin with obvious forms of corporeality, especially with the four physical elements. Then you have to contemplate the nature of feeling and consciousness. It is clear from what the Buddha says in Saṅyutta Nikāya, quote, "The yogi knows that the eye is impermanent, that the visual form is impermanent, and that seeing is impermanent, and that the yogi should attend to various phenomena at the moment of seeing, etc. Moreover, Visuddhimagga and other commentaries tell us how a yogi attains the path and fruition by contemplating not jhana, but obvious phenomena. In my book, I describe the post-jhanic practice of vipassana according to Pali commentaries. No doubt, it is not hard to understand if one has a knowledge of Pali texts and grasp something about vipassana. The samatha that occurs while one contemplates various phenomena is called kanika samadhi, the samadhi that lasts momentarily during contemplation. No vipassana insight is possible without this kanika samadhi. The yogi who has no basic jhanic experience and relies on vipassana contemplation alone develops vipassana insight through kanika samadhi and attains the Aryan path. This vipassana samadhi is not confined to a single object. The yogi practicing it watches all the nama rupa that arise, but at the moment of watching, one's mind is fixed on the object and free from distraction. This is obvious to the yogi who practices effectively. Presumably, the writer who criticized my book did not understand vipassana kanika samadhi thoroughly through books or from experience. If one still clings to their view, it is bigotry that will hamper their spiritual efforts. The bigotry of Sunakata. In the time of the Buddha, there was a Lichavi bhikkhu called Sunakata. He sometimes acted as a personal attendant of the Buddha. After having attained through the practice of samatha, concentration, the four jhanas, as well as the paranormal power of diva or divine eye, he asked the Buddha what he should do to attain the divine ear, dibhasota, or the power of hearing all sounds heavenly and human, far and near. Seeing that there was an obstacle to his attainment of divine ear, the Buddha declined to help him. He suspected that the Buddha did not reveal the secret because he did not want anyone to have as many psychic powers as he had. This suspicion was a setback to Sunakata's faith in the Buddha. Moreover, because of his lack of vipassana practice, he did not have a firm faith. His evil practices, because he had evil predispositions that he acquired in his previous existences. So one day he was much pleased when he saw the ascetic Korakatiya living naked and behaving like a dog, thinking, "This Korakatiya is a true saint. He eats like a dog without holding the food with his hand. He is a true arahat without defilements." He adored the naked ascetic. The Buddha divined his thoughts and said, It's a wonder that a man like you professes to be my disciple. The Buddha went on to predict the fate of the ascetic. This man, Korakatiya, will die of overeating after 7 days. He will be reborn as an asura, an evil ghost, a jealous ghost, jealous demon. His corpse will be dumped in the cemetery. If you go and ask the corpse, it will rise up and tell you about his rebirth in the asura world. Sunakata wished to charge the Buddha with falsehood, and he frantically did his utmost to make the prediction false. However, he had to admit afterwards that everything happened as predicted by the Buddha. Still, he did not have much faith in the Buddha and continued to be attached to wrong practices. Because of his bigotry, he left the holy order 3 years later and denied that the Buddha had any transcendent knowledge. Since he failed to practice vipassana and attain the path, he could not give up his view and remained steeped in bigotry and evil thoughts. Today there may be one or two persons like Sunakata among those who came and practiced it at our centre. Such a person may have been prompted, not by faith, but by other motives, to come to the centre. He does not practice seriously, and so he does not have any unusual experience. He does not develop samadhi fully, let alone vipassana insight. He tends to belittle meditation, saying that he does not experience anything extraordinary despite his practice. But he will cling to erroneous views, and so long as he is mired in bigotry, he will do evil and endanger the spiritual life of those who pin their faith to him. Jhana and purity of mind. There is also the belief that only jhana makes one mentally pure. In Burma, this view prevails only among a few people, for it is clearly stated in the commentaries that purity of mind also depends on upachara samadhi, neighborhood concentration. Moreover, the commentary on Satipatthana Sutta refers to the 19 sections on bodily postures, etc., excluding in and out breathing, etc., as the subjects of mind training that lead to upachara samadhi. Again, according to Visuddhimagga, of the 40 kinds of samatha kamatana mind training, the one called Chatu Dhatu Vavatana is the Dhatu Manasikara Kamatana of Satipatthana Sutta. And the yogi who practices pure vipassana begins with the contemplation of 18 dhatu, 12 ayatana bases, 5 kanda and 2 nama rupa. Hence it is clear that the yogi can attain upachara samadhi by contemplating the 4 physical elements and the upachara or vipassana kanika samadhi by overcoming the hindrances, and that upachara samadhi leads to purity of mind, as well as to 5 kinds of panya, wisdom, and purity, such as purity of belief. This is clear from the ancient books, and the complete purity of mind and belief is borne out by the experience of yogis who meditate seriously according to Satipatthana method. To our knowledge, such yogis numbered by the thousands, there is no doubt that upachara samadhi or vipassana kanika samadhi ensures mental purity. Those who firmly believe that the practice of jhana is vital to mental purity will find their spiritual effort futile if they cannot attain jhana and have doubts about vipassana samadhi. Such an extreme view is a hindrance to vipassana and should be avoided. The bigotry of an ascetic teacher. After attaining Sotapanna stage through a stanza of which he learnt from Tera Asaji, the wandering ascetics Paribhajika, Upatissa and Kolita, who were later to become Sariputta and Moggallana, respectively, decided to go to the Buddha. They invited their teacher Sanjaya to come alone with them. Sanjaya declined, saying that as the leader of a sect for a long time, it would not be proper for him to become the disciple of Samana ascetic Gautama on being told that people would desert him in favor of the Buddha. He replied that he did not worry about that, since the fools who formed the majority of mankind would still come to him. This is an instance of bigotry for the sake of offering attendance and fame. Therefore, we should avoid over-attachment to views that are opposed to the realization of true Dharma. Some people believe firmly that they are indispensable at home, and so they do not seek the opportunity to practice meditation, and this means a great spiritual loss for them. In worldly life too, it will not do to cling blindly to an irrational belief. We should think rationally and change or reject our view if necessary. But a self-opinionated person usually does not give up his view despite the rational teaching of sages like the Buddha, and so he has to suffer in this life as well as hereafter. In everyday life too, over-attachment to a belief is detrimental to our welfare. At the very least, a person who denies what others have experienced will be blamed as a bigot. But bigotry in worldly life is not harmful to spiritual life, whereas religious bigotry may be damaging to chances of rebirth in the Deva world or spiritual attainment. So we should reflect rationally on what the wise and learned scholars say and give up old established but erroneous views instead of clinging blindly to them. Now, we have dealt with all of the defilements that the Buddha spells out in Salaika Sutta. The Buddha concludes the discourse by exhorting the disciples to contemplate under a tree or at any other quiet place. According to the commentary, we should contemplate 38 kinds of subjects of mind training in order to develop concentration, and for the development of vipassana insight, the object of contemplation are anicca, dukkha and anatta of the nama rupa, as well as the same three marks of the five khandhas, the 12 bases, etc. In short, we should practice both the samatha and vipassana. Thus the Buddha himself stresses the need for the practice of samatha, and so we should not belittle samatha. Arahats of the higher order practice vipassana on the basis of samatha, but contemplation of khandha, etc. is vipassana and not samatha. It is not true to say that contemplation of bodily postures, etc., as suggested in Satipatthana Sutta, is the practice of samatha. In reality, contemplation of the nature of nama rupa as distinct from the 40 subjects of mind training, samatha kamatana, is pure vipassana. Concluding his discourse, the Buddha urges the disciple to contemplate at the foot of a tree or in some quiet retreat. The Buddha has given full instructions for the conquest of defilements. It is up to the disciples to follow them and practice accordingly. They should not forget what to do for their spiritual liberation. Otherwise, when it is too late, they will feel unhappy, tormented by regret and remorse. That is the end of the book, the Salaika Sutta Discourse by Venerable Mahasi Sayadaw of Burma. May all beings be happy.